cable news, noisy, boring, out of touch. That's why Salem News Channel is different. We keep you in the know, streaming 24/7 for free. Home to the greatest collection of conservative voices like Dennis Prager, Jay Sekulow, Mike Gallagher, and more. Salem News Channel is unfiltered and unapologetic. Watch anytime on any screen at snc.tv and local now, channel 525.
Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All righty, we are back. And Joe, I don't think we're going to be able to open the phone lines today because we have so much to cover tonight and more material than we have time. But right now, sure. I want to, you know who Owen Schroyer is. He details his horrific story in prison after Biden regime locked him up for speech crimes. Now, I had Jake Lang on here with us yesterday, and Jake will probably do another segment on Friday. These guys are in prisons, and Owen Schroyer, he spent 60 days in prison. He never went in. He never went into the building. He was outside the entire time, and he's going to tell you his story here because right after he got out, Tucker Carlson had him on. And so go and bring us that clip. We're having some buffering problems right now. Sometimes these things will happen.
Is that also, yeah, is that also known as technical difficulties?
Yeah. It's there's a number of things that could cause that. One of the things, for example, if you have one of your units that I have sitting here, if you get a cell phone too close to it, it'll cause it to buffer. And I don't know what's causing this because it was playing good earlier. But what do you think, Kyle? Are we going to be able to get her?
I'm going to refresh the page, Pastor. Give me 30 seconds.
Okay. He's going to refresh the page. And so the Biden regime jailed Owen Schroyer for speech crimes. Owen Schroyer was sentenced to 60 days in prison back in September in a D.C. kangaroo court for his actions on January 6, 2020. And before he stood outside the Capitol on January 6th and warned Trump supporters not to go inside the building. No.
I'm good to go now. Whenever you're...
Okay, take it away.
So what was prison like?
Well, I will tell you, I think, and this is kind of not something I would expected to have said in this interview, but it's just true. I think God wanted me to experience this for multiple reasons, Tucker. I'm a big believer in God, and I think everything that happens in our life is for a reason.
Yes.
And I believe God wanted me to go through this experience because not just the obvious example of speech imprisonment that I had to face or a speech crime that is now potentially a precedent that could be used against any journalist, which puts fear in my heart, not just for me in the present day, but for future Americans, that they have to be afraid to speak and to do work, honest work as a journalist. But, you know, there was an unexpected issue that was clearly shown to me through this process. And that's that the Justice Department and the incentive behind imprisonment is wrong. I mean, I can tell you the details of my stay. They're pretty much horrific, Tucker. I spent the majority of the time in lockdown. I went right out of solitary confinement into what's called a special housing unit for a phone call I made thanking people for sending me mail. People that were in jail for decades, some of the people that worked inside the prison for decades, when they saw that what's called a shot in the prisons, they said, I've never seen anybody get punished for this before. So I got sent to prison as a speech prisoner, and then I got sent to the prison inside the prison for my speech. And, you know, I had a couple off-the-record conversations with people while I was in there, and basically they were saying the same thing, like, look, Owen, we don't like what's been done to you here, but these are orders coming from the very top. Your beef isn't with us here at this prison. Your beef is with the people at the top. They're the ones still coming after you, even when you're in here. And I'll leave it at that. So nobody's ever heard of a misdemeanor in a federal prison until me. Nobody's ever heard of somebody going to the special housing unit for making a phone call, thanking people for mail until me. And so I don't know why they want to make an example of me so much, except that I just speak the truth and I'll say it right to their face if I'm given the opportunity. But we need prison reform in this country badly, Tucker. Most of the people that are in that prison, not just me, do not belong there. And there are way more political prisoners outside the realm of what you and I might think. You go after corrupt lawyers, judges, insurance companies. You go after the corruption in Medicare and Medicaid. They lock you up and throw away the key. I couldn't believe some of the stories. And while I'm in there, the Bureau of Prison wants $2 billion. Matt Gaetz brought my name up during that hearing. The Bureau of Prisons doesn't need $2 billion more annually. They need to release $2 billion worth of prisoners because we have a prison industrial complex in this country and we have a Justice Department that is not incentivized by justice.
Alrighty. You know what he said about that, that prison industrial complex, that is so true, Joe. That is so true. It's been 50 years in the prison ministry, 45 years, you know, actively visiting prisons on a continuous basis. And boy, I'm going to tell you, like here in Ohio, virtually you have, not in every case, and I'm speaking corporately because there are some very good people that work within the prison system. I know some that are very good people. They actually care about people and try to do a good job, but Joe, for the most part, you got two sets of criminals, one in charge of the other. That's what
exactly.
You have. Yeah, I mean, it's like some of the worst criminals are the ones that, you know, hold the offices of the wardens. And, I mean, it's bad here in Ohio.
I remember years ago I told you here in Missouri we had a female running the prison system, and her husband was a correctional consumer. That's what she wanted the guards to call the prisoners, correctional consumers, because that's what her husband was.
Jeez. Anyhow.
It pretty much goes along with what you just said, doesn't it?
Yeah,
anyway,
it does.
I want to throw one thing. I was listening to Wendy, and I'm thinking she's quoting these studies. You know, we're folks. This is why this ministry is so important. You didn't hear any of this from Fox News. You didn't hear any of this from any of the media outlets about these pneumonia vaccines are worthless, useless. It's a money pit. It's a way people make money off of other people's ignorance. It's what's wrong with this whole country is corruption. People have sold out their fellow American citizens for money. All through the government, all through these systems, the whole thing boils down to corruption, the love of money being the root of all evil. And until there is a revival and we get back to morals and honor, we're going to see more of the same, like in the Bible study with the women and children ruling, being in rule because of the nation's sin. That's why you need to support this ministry. I know we normally, Pastor, only talk about it once a week and fundraise, but tonight with Wendy's whole presentation was the perfect reason why people need to keep us on the air, keep you especially on the air, because they weren't getting information like that anywhere else. I do a lot of research, right, for the stories. And I did not see any of that anywhere in the European press, in any, you know, all the places that I search. It wasn't listed except in super special little medical. But that's what these reporters are supposed to have, people that report on medicine, report on, you know, science. They're the ones that are supposed to be telling the American people. But I think they're paid more to not tell the truth than they are to be a reporter.
Well, absolutely right. You're absolutely right. You know, you mentioned Wendy. One thing about Wendy, she cares about people. She'll take time, even in, when she's busy as can be. And she's had a rough year, too, because all these, they do not want people like naturopaths and people like Wendy out there. The big pharma, the big drug companies, they're paying the right people to try to run people like her out of business, okay? But and she's had it tough, but she'll always take time with people and help people. She's got a heart of gold, that little woman does. Anyhow, you know, we're going to take a look very quickly, Joe, about what's happening, you know, here. You know, you just had this yesterday in the House where they had the big controversy of the vote, and here before the Senate where Biden keeps wanting us to keep funding the war in Ukraine and the war in Israel when we are at war, when our border is open, and you have the enemy, you have illegal aliens, you have terrorists crossing our border. Biden's job to his superiors, the Red Chinese Army, China tells Biden, you keep that border open, you keep the fentanyl coming in, you keep the good supply of children for sex trade, and that's exactly what Biden does. And then he puts this guy Mayorkas out there, and as we watch literally millions of people cross the border, Mayorkas is there telling us the border's secure. And it's like, you know, we really believe you people are stupid. And we have the fake news media. They'll back whatever lie we say. The fake news media will back it up. NBC, ABC, CBS, and everything Donald Trump, President Trump, the real president of the United States, everything he says about the fake news media is true. So we're going to play a clip, Joe, here, and we're going to take a look with Tom Homan. He reports on how many illegals are crossing our border. And why don't you take that away, Kyle?
Great job down there. They're filling the gaps, like we've talked about many times. Border Patrol is so overwhelmed, there's large parts of the border which aren't covered. So we've been patrolling the valleys of this area all morning and looking for the drug smugglers, because this unit, this air and addiction unit here, has seized a massive amount of narcotics coming through this area. So I'm patrol here for a couple more hours, then I'm going to head over to El Paso, where the activity is really picking up over there, and doing what they can to help the Border Patrol.
Really interesting. Tom, can you talk a little bit about these live pictures? We were just looking at Lukeville, Arizona, which has sort of become the epicenter of this migrant crisis. When they separate women and children off, it seems that there are way more adult males coming over. We are looking at what is likely some sort of processing that's happening with Border Patrol there, where we know resources. They're overwhelmed. It's like, you know, 200 migrants to one Border Patrol agent, we're being told at this point. But what's happening there, and why is the problem getting so big in Arizona now?
Look, the cartels, they study us every day. They're like a Fortune 500 company. They know where the activity is. They know where the enforcement resources are. Arizona doesn't have the resources Texas has, so they're swapping to Arizona. And look, they know there's very little technology in that part of the border. Where I'm standing right now, the cartels know there's a little technology here, and that's why they use this for drug smuggling. But the Border Patrol's overwhelmed. You look at just yesterday's numbers, were over 9,000. If you add the 1,500 a day gotaways plus the thousands they're bringing through a port of entry, this isn't slowing down a bit. And the reason it's not slowing down is because the cartels are selling the actions of this administration. The secretary can say don't come all he wants, but as long as we keep releasing around 5,000 people a day into this country, there's no consequence. Why would they stop coming? That's why the numbers continue at historic records. I'm being told November numbers be out at the end of the week. It'll be another historic record.
Wow. Okay, that's news right there. Meanwhile, this is a Chicago activist, Raul Montes. He is slamming his city, Chicago, their response to the flow of migrants, because we know Chicago is getting a lot of people. Listen.
People have been waiting for years. Let's say, for example, to get citizenship, and they don't get anything. They've been here 40, 50 years. They can't get no amnesty. But then these people come, they get everything. They're getting their rent paid, they're getting money, they're getting phones, they're getting et cetera. What about the homeless people?
What about the veterans?
The veterans, exactly.
I mean, there's all kinds of problems popping up, including what Mayor Johnson in Chicago is identifying as rogue bus operators. He's filing a lawsuit, his administration, Tom, because he says the city has filed 55 lawsuits since it implemented new rules about when and where buses can arrive in mid-November. The lawsuits address 77 total buses accused of violating rules. Public records show at least some cases are seeking fines against these bus companies. I mean, all kinds of stuff is going wrong. But, Tom, now what we're hearing hearing is that we're so inundated with the number of migrants in these cities that some of the migrants themselves are not happy. This is just some of what they're saying. They're saying work's more limited than they thought. They're finding it impossible to have a stable life here. They're tired of the system. They say it's dangerous. They're not sure how much longer they want to do this. Some of them say that they're turning around and going back home. What is your response when you hear that, Tom?
I believe it when I see it. We still have record numbers coming across the border every day. And let me just foot stomp with the guy I just talked about. That's something we don't talk about. These massive numbers coming across the border making fraudulent asylum claims. Because you look at the 10 years of court data, 9 out of 10 of these people claim asylum at our border won't get relief from U.S. courts. They simply don't qualify or they don't show up in court. So while they overwhelm the immigration court system, there are thousands of people in this world that really are escaping fear and persecution and death from their homeland. And they're sitting in the back seat because of massive fraud going on. We have millions of people standing in line, taking the test, paying the fees, doing the background investigations to become part of this country, get a resident alien card, or become a citizen. They're sitting in the back seat. This administration hasn't done one thing to slow the flow, and that's why these numbers will continue until we get somebody in the White House that's going to enforce the law and close this border down the way it was on the last administration.
Just incredible. Your shot there, Alpine, Texas, what you're seeing, and the number of people you're going through there. Eagle Pass, Texas, this live shot screen right. This is just an incredibly steady flow. And as we've been reporting, the numbers are moving up and up in Arizona as well. Tom, great to
go. All righty, we're back. And, you know, this is happening, and we keep reporting on it. We keep reporting on it, too, telling people. And hopefully, we do have some good people in Congress. I keep hearing how the Republicans are not much different than the Democrats. That is not true at all, okay? Today, virtually, you had all but one, I think, Republican vote. You know, we do have rhinos, and those are really bad people, but vote for the impeachment inquiry today. But, Joe, I don't think if Hunter had shown up, for his congressional hearing, I don't think that they would have all voted that way. But what happened when he didn't show up, it was like in your face. Some of those rhinos that were not going to vote for the inquiry decided, that they were going to now for what Hunter did. And so, that worked out well as far as that goes. So now Hunter is going to be drawn in because I have an article here, Joe, and this is a flashback here let me just read it. Flashback. Watch as Joe Biden affirms DOJ's duty to prosecute anyone who defies congressional subpoenas. Okay? Now, remember when the Democrats had charge of the Congress, this is what he was saying. Hunter Biden stated that he is exempt from participating in a deposition citing the illegitimacy of the House committee that issued the subpoenas. Hunter Biden believes he is above the law, okay? During a press conference, Hunter said he welcomed questions from the House Oversight Committee regarding their investigation into his criminal family. But there is a catch. Hunter insists he will not testify beyond closed doors for his deposition as required by the House Oversight subpoena. Instead, he said he would only welcome inquiry in public. I'm here to ensure that the House Committee illegitimate investigation of my family do not proceed on distortions, manipulated evidence, lies. I have made mistakes in my life and wasted the opportunities and privileges I was afforded. I am making amends, Hunter Biden said. Now, let me ask you this, okay? Did Roger Stone, when he said he wasn't going to appear, what happened to him?
I think it was jail, wasn't it?
Yeah, he went to jail. They came to his house. I don't know how many cowboys they came in there, dirty cops. I mean, in the middle of the night, drug him out. I mean, busted down the doors like the way they do.
Gear, full riot gear, weapons drawn, everything for an old man, right?
Yeah. And then what about Bannon? Same thing. What happened to Bannon? He ended up... So now Hunter says, well, basically what he's saying, those laws only apply to conservative Republicans, that they don't apply to communists. And by the way, progressive, exactly, folks, is just another name for communist. The progressive, they don't want to use the word communist, so they change it to progressive, but it's the same thing. It's just like you can drive a car or an automobile. Two different names for the same thing. And that's what progressives are. Communists, communists are progressive. So there you go. We'll see what's going to happen now if Congress hauls him in, because now it's up to the DOJ. And it used to, it used to be Department of Justice. Today, you might say it's more like dirty old jerks. These people are so corrupt, so very corrupt. And one of them, well, Joe, go ahead.
Department of Judas, because they're selling the American people into slavery for money.
Exactly. Now, this Jack Smith, it's an interesting thing. When he has taken more cases where he has lost, had more cases thrown, even out of liberal courts, because he went overboard. They call him the assassin. He wants to go after people. There's something that's mentally not right with this fellow here. And listen, to be called Dirty Jack Smith by dirty lawyers, okay? That's really saying something, isn't it?
Well, he's the one that he used. He must be paid well, because what he does is destroy people, and the case gets overthrown in the end. But the person's life is destroyed. They've spent all their money on lawyer fees and appeals and all this, and they've gotten them out of the position they were in. They no longer effective politically. So, in a way, he's being used, but I'm sure he's being paid well.
Well, here's the article. Breaking: Trump persecutor Jack Smith alleged role in extortion scheme while at the International Court of Justice revealed. My old friend and business partner John Moynihan, by the way, this is by the Gateway Press here, filed a whistleblower complaint with the Department of Justice Inspector General's office on November 28th, alleging that Jack Smith, the special persecutor pursuing Donald Trump, was engaged in an extortion scheme while he was working at the International Court of Justice. And you can find the complaint that at the bottom of the article by Patrick Byrne. But anyhow, it is no coincidence that Jack Smith, in the wake of that complaint, made an impromptu move on Monday, December 11th, asking the U.S. Supreme Court to decide whether Donald Trump had immunity to the charges filed by Smith. Moynihan's complaint was filed on November 28th, and Smith, 13 days later, decides to bypass the appeals court. "Smells like politics to me," he said. The Moynihan complaint is political dynamite, because it provides circumstantial evidence to support Donald Trump's belief that Jack Smith is not only politically motivated, but absolutely corrupt. Well, yeah, we kind of know that.
Yeah.
The Trump team wisely has refrained from piling on this news in order to avoid accusations. There you go.
It's all about getting Trump being on trial during the primaries, the election season. And that's why he's doing everything, because if he lets the regular legal system run its course, the appeals will happen too late, and it'll be after the election. So he's desperate to do his hit before, because he knows after too late.
He's out there because his orders are coming from Joe Biden, who says stop Trump at all. Make sure he does not run now. And Biden
coming from above Joe. I'm sorry, but those are,
well, yeah. Well, that's coming from
above Joe.
Yeah, but you're right. I mean, Obama's back there pulling Joey's strings, but, and then, of course, you got George Soros. But here, Joe, I heard Joe Biden say that he would do everything he could to stop Trump from re-election. I heard him say it.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
Exactly. He did. That's a quote.
Already.
There is some real good news. I've got one story. It's a short story. The Supreme Court is taking on a case with major implications for January 6th defendants. This is by Caitlin Richardson, Daily Caller News. The Supreme Court today, Wednesday, decided to hear a case, and the case is stemming from January 6th defendant Joseph Fisher's request to dismiss a charge against him for obstructing an official proceeding. He was one of those, he didn't obstruct anything, didn't do anything, but they're trying to hang him on that. And his case provides the Supreme Court to look at a statute, government statute, section 1512C2, and he argues this has been used to charge hundreds of other defendants in an unprecedented extension of the state's reach. Hundreds of cases have been and will be affected by the scope of Section 1512C2, including the case against the former president, the petition states. And so there's going to be a ruling now. This is going to the Supreme Court. We've been talking about this for, 3 years? Why hasn't this case gone to the Supreme Court? These people in jail, they're these January 6th defendants. Locked up without bail, locked up without, first they weren't even getting legal counsel for months and months. And this could be a huge, huge breakthrough. I am praying that this will finally be justice for those people.
Yeah, I am too. And now, the fellow we had on here yesterday, Jake, he too has now filed a brief with the U.S. Supreme Court.
I think there were dozens of other briefs being filed, so have also gone to, now being filed. I think that's why the court took up one of them, because there were so many people coming.
Well, here's the good news there, Joe. The decision by the Supreme Court to take up the appeal on the 512 obstruction of an official proceeding case means that the Trump D.C. case will not be going to trial. And lawyer and former federal prosecutor Bill Shipley wrote on the Twitter, "This is the easy way to make what that happen without directly acting on the Trump case on an expedited basis." So here, that is very good news for the Trump team, okay?
Right, that case is on hold until the Supreme Court rules, and if it rules the right way, the case is moot.
Well, if it goes past the election and Trump wins that election, it wouldn't matter, because all he would have to say is he could pardon himself, right?
Right, but what I'm saying is the Supreme Court rules that January 6th was, this person wasn't an insurrectionist, that Trump didn't foment a revolution, then their whole case goes out the window and it's done with right there.
Well, we know that it was the FBI that fomented a lot of that. We know, in fact.
You just brought, I had to say this, the big story of the day to me, FBI whistleblower. Now, this was on World News Daily. Again, Fox News, folks, if you're getting your news from Fox or any other place, you're not getting the truth, you're not getting news.
Carl Serafin, yeah. By Alicia Power, yeah. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
And this agent is a longtime agent, and he's been from 2016 to 23. He talked about living and working through this agency that he.
Hey, Joe, hold it right there. Joe, hold it right there. We're up against the break. We'll pick this up right on the other side. Go ahead and take it away, Kyle. We'll pick it up on the other side.
Okay.
Morning on a sidewalk in the city, a lost soul approached me as the snow was getting deep. I could see the look of death. It was there in her eyes now as I began to preach. She began to speak. She said,
"Preacher, I'll admit it. I've come to kill my baby. The whole world is telling me that I have that right, but deep down inside me, I believe what what you're preaching. Children are a gift of God. We've got to give them life.
So I put my arm around her and I gave her the gospel. It was right there in the darkness that she could see the light. Two souls were saved there, both her and her baby. All to do the Lord's work, you had better learn to do it right. You've got to know how to please Him, not just to please Him. Don't try to walk away, there's no way to run. You better count your blessings. Please Him while you're able. He's the keeper of your soul now. He's got the Son. Now every preacher knows the rock of his salvation. I'll separate the goats from all the sheep. All men are sinners. They all need a Savior. He's the only one to trust in. It's your soul that he'll keep. And when I finish preaching,
the woman was a believer. A baby. A young preacher, she's so very proud of the baby that she decided to keep. You got to know how to please Him, not just to please Him. Don't try and walk away. Not just to please Him. Don't try to walk away. There's nowhere to run. You better count your blessings and do it while you're able. He's the keeper of your soul now. He's got the Son. You got to know how to please Him. Not just to please Him. Don't try and walk away. There's nowhere to run. You better count. While you're able, He's the keeper of your soul now. He's got the Son.
Alrighty, we're back. That's a true story, Joe. That's a true story. Yep, I wrote that song. It was Julie Daner there with me. I wrote that song, oh gee, had to be well over 20 years ago or more, much probably closer to 30 years ago, I think. I'm not sure, but anyhow, that was the story. I'll never forget that day. But anyhow, here, FBI agent Kyle Serafin couldn't take it anymore. Take it away, Joe.
Well, he started seeing the corruption in the FBI that when they started going after people for thought crimes. Then he refused the executive order 14043 mandating the kill shot. He didn't take the kill shots. They went after him. He became a whistleblower. Well, they put him on unpaid suspension for being a whistleblower, or for not taking the shots. And then, because of that, he decided to be a whistleblower, and they forced him out of the FBI in 2022 without pay. So he went 2 years without pay because he was a patriot. One, he wouldn't take the kill shot. Two, he started telling the truth. So basically, what he's everything that Pastor Ernie and I have been telling you for a long time about the FBI, he's validating. And he said the FBI agents were notified about individuals or groups who champion traditional patriotic American values. These people were, quote, domestic threats. So if you're a patriot, you're a conservative, you're a threat to the nation. He said they were investigating parents. You know, that was true. They were using this domestic violent extremist guide, and anything that they saw, things, symbols like a Betsy Ross flag, the Gadsden flag, any patriotic symbols, these people, you know, okay, were militia violent extremists. No, you know, I've got a Gadsden flag, and it, you know, people have them all over this country, good, solid people. Anyway, then he went on talking about the 2020 election was stolen. And if you spoke out, you were put on a terror watch list. We told you about that. He found out, yes, there's election interference going on. They were, you know, screaming misinformation, disinformation, when in fact it was the truth. He said the guidance came out of the Hoover building, on and on, just step after step after step. He has validated everything. Then he said, then the FBI went hunting Christians. They went after Catholics. They were talking about radical traditionalist Catholics. He said they were going after Catholics that just wanted Latin Mass. All you had to do was say, I wanted the old-fashioned Latin Mass, and you were immediately a radical Catholic, you know, dangerous. And he went on, they were monitoring places of worship and people. He was talking about how they used the Southern Poverty Law Center to set up hate groups. And as that started to get out, they rescinded the guidance after a whistleblower published the Southern Poverty's list of hate crime people. In fact, you were on the list, Pastor Ernie.
Yeah, I know.
And then he said the government, quote, government planned, premeditated the January 6th Fed insurrection. And he said, not in the way that a lot of people thought. Now, it's a little complicated. I'm going to try and simplify it. He said there are these protocols. They're called the NSE protocols. And they go into effect for State of the Union, presidential inaugurations, celebrations, major holidays, any big events that requires large groups of people. These are protocols been used for a long time. Now, they have a joint command post. These are standard, codified by law, and executive order. They're run by the Secret Service under the Department of Homeland Security. So this is all set up to handle enormous crowds, and it includes federal and local resources from District of Columbia, Metro Police Department, ATF, FBI, Department of Energy, Capitol Police. All of these are always, and Secret Service, always involved. And, quote, they all get together, have a common joint command post. Then also they have their own separate command post to manage their own individual duties. The fact is, this did not happen on January 6th. They did not have the command post. They did not have their individual command post. And he said, this is a giveaway that something different was afoot. And he said there was no reason why the protest should have gotten out of hand in a city that handles this regularly multiple times a year. He said that was the thing. They did not follow the protocol, the law that was codified that they had to do this. Any big crowd, any situation like went on, that they didn't have the joint command post. They didn't have the individual command post. The ATF wasn't there, the Metro Police, all these people, you know, not done. So he's saying this is the people were set up and that there were FBI people there. And many of them, or what is the other they call the other pastor in my brain had up, the ones they hire, the FBI hire somebody, a plant.
Yeah, those operatives, they call them operatives.
Yeah. And so he talked about all of this. And then he said they set up, they were used as FBI task force for violent extremists when they were looking for Al-Qaeda. And they used this platform. And they were supposed to go after white supremacists, but they had a problem. They set up all this big time and money situation. The trouble was, looking for white supremacists, they ran out of supremacists. You know, the need for them was nowhere near what the demand was in the FBI. Now, think about this. They were looking for something. They couldn't find enough. So, well, we had to widen the umbrella. We had to start looking for other things, and they started spreading this out. And here's the thing. They were trying to find people committing some kind of crime, trying to shorten a huge story. The FBI has a thing where they set up their goals. Their offices get incentivized with large amounts of money. So they said, we're going to have so many arrests or so many of this, you know. When they hit their numbers, like traffic quotas for national security, the FBI heads make $25,000 to $35,000 in an annual bonus for achieving, quote, the metrics what they predicted. In other words, the FBI predicted in 2022 it would disrupt 600 terrorist organizations, but they fell short because there weren't 600 terrorist organizations operating. So they had to go and find somebody else to go after. He said they're working like this, like you hear stories of small-town cops have to write so many traffic tickets to fund the department. And that's what they're doing in the FBI. They were having to create people to go after to fulfill the quotas that they themselves set. And this story is incredible, and if you want to, it's at...
What they do, though, Joe, also what they're doing... if they can't find white supremacists, they create them. This is what you do. The Dirty 30, the same Dirty 30 that went at Mar-a-Lago, that went into Mar-a-Lago and when they went after President Trump. These are the very same corrupt cops were the same ones that went to Michigan with that whole fake thing about the kidnapping of Whitmer, okay?
Right.
The governor. That was done... by the FBI did that whole thing. It was corrupt. It was crooked from day one, and you know, and everybody knows it now. Okay,
but even when they created these things, they still came far short of being able to achieve their goals of the people they were going to arrest, or you know, so they what it is they started looking at all these other areas to find people to fill in, so they could achieve their goals to get their bonuses. This is totally sick, folks. You can see this at World News Daily. The title is Whistleblower Tells WND Conservatives Were Painted Domestic Terrorists. That's the title that you go. World News Daily, WND.com, 2023. FBI Whistleblower Tells Conservatives Painted as Domestic Terrorists.
And the article by Alicia Powell. Alicia Powell has written the article, but you're absolutely right, Joe. It's, you know, do you remember, look, it wasn't that many years ago, 20 years ago, or 25, you know, it was the conservatives. We were supporting the FBI. We, when the FBI went out, and, you know, we had confidence, and the FBI was actually arresting the bad guys back in those days.
Yeah.
And the Democrats were the ones that hated the FBI. They hated, you know, all the police forces. And today, now, remember, in those days, the FBI would hunt down communists. They would expose communists, and they would hunt them down, okay? Today, they've become the communists. They are the communists. And when I was growing up, just as a very small child, Joe, in Cleveland, Ohio, after World War II, what happened was so many people came up. My relatives came from Kentucky up here. But on Saturday morning, every Saturday morning, my dad would get off. And during the war, he was working at the plant. Now, his four brothers all got drafted, but not him, because his job was putting the turrets on these big tanks. And so they wouldn't give him, they made him stay there, okay, and work.
Essential, yeah, he had essential talent, yeah.
Yeah, so what happened was this woman and her name, I remember her name, every Saturday she would come by the house, and she would come in and she would stop, and my dad would invite her in, and they would sit there, my parents would sit, and she'd have a cup of coffee, and she would be pretending like she wanted to, looking for people to join the Communist Party, this and that. But she wasn't. She was an FBI agent. And she was trying to find out who it was. And my dad was starting to get kind of short in patience with her because he was... but then he kind of figured something out. It was like, in a way, she almost let him know what she was doing, okay? And I had the same thing happen to me with a woman doctor who came into the ministry to volunteer, and here she was an actual FBI agent, but she was there looking, trying to find out who it was that was burning down these abortion mills, and so she was sent in to infiltrate our ministry But it worked good for me because I had an eyewitness that when they tried to accuse me of these things, I had a witness, a good witness, that I didn't do it, okay? So that helped me out there. Because remember how they accused me of all those things back in the past there, the death unit, yeah. So, yeah, anyhow, that's what's happening
just
up there.
Just because you speak out and, you know, say that, you know, we should protest and we hope that the politicians would defund them and all that to them was a sign that, you know, you would go burn something down when...
Well, you know. We exposed the abortionists. I would tell them, put their names out over there, like Martin Ruddick and these others, and a couple of them we managed to send them to, they went to prison, okay? But here, we exposed their name. Their name went out over the radio. People know who they were. Their neighbors found out. We had one who had told his neighbors he was a brain surgeon. Well, he was sucking the brains out of babies is what he was doing. And so when we put all that out, when we exposed them to where people know who they really were, they got very angry, and they hired dirty lawyers trying to take me down. That's why they tried to RICO me three times. They charged me with racketeering, okay, Joe, because for saving babies. But the cases were thrown out right away because the idea in RICO, I had to make a profit. I had to be profiting by taking away from there. And I was losing money saving babies, okay?
Yeah.
And so, here. But it wasn't, the cause was a righteous cause, okay? But, and I never tried to kill one abortionist, but they tried to kill me several times, okay? And so, there you go. Of course, that's what they do. They kill. They take innocent life.
And the left always tries to accuse the enemy of doing exactly what they're doing. To throw everybody off.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we exposed the women that bled to death in the bloody abortion mills. See, they didn't want that coming out hitting the news either.
You have
about 7 minutes. And so, well, Joe, it's that time. So we're up against the clock tonight. And so, folks out there listening, wherever you're at, there are some good news. I want to give you a little bit of good news real fast, Joe, here. God preserved us. No lives lost after the tornado hits the church. The pastor of a church there in Nashville, Tennessee, Joe, I saw the church. They were having the church service. They were having and a tornado hit, and I saw the church. I couldn't believe it. I thought nobody could have survived that, but nobody was killed.
But there were several hurt, but you're right. Not a person died.
And God had his hand on them. You know, you're right. He took the building away, but he preserved his people. Praise the Lord. Anyhow,
amen.
Folks, you see now, Joe, many of those people could have died in that church there. How many of them do you think had planned on dying yet Saturday?
I don't think anybody thought about dying Saturday. Nope.
Well, all over this world tonight, there are a whole lot of people out there. None of them, the vast majority of them, are not planning on dying. Of course, we do have cases where some are, you know. But, and especially the younger people. The younger people have, you know, no plans. They think they'll live forever. So many of them, like when we were young. But now, it's not their call, right? I mean, whose call is it the minute that your soul is required of you? It's God's call, isn't it?
Yes, it is. His alone.
Okay, and so folks out there listening, you know, God's word is filled with absolute. A lot of people don't really realize that. But everybody out there listening to me out there tonight is going to die someday. That'll happen, right? And when that happens, God has said this. What God has said is that it's required that all men die, and then the judgment. And what happens when people die, okay, you're going to end up, folks. If you're saved, you're going to go to heaven. Your spirit and soul will go to heaven waiting for your new body to be reunited. But, folks, if you're not saved, now God has said this, right? Guess where you go? You go to hell. Hell is a place of torment. And now this is a reality, what I'm telling you here. It doesn't matter. See, you can believe whatever you want. You can believe that you'll keep coming back. Maybe you come back as an elephant, or maybe you'll come back as an eagle, or maybe a Corvette or something. But you see, that's not reality, folks. That's not reality. That's what you think. What God has said is reality, okay? God has been right 100% of the time. He never gets it wrong. And God has said that you're going to die, and you're going to end up going to heaven or hell. Now, for you folks out there listening, believe me, you don't want to go to the latter. You don't. You don't have to. You don't have to. God has given you a way out. He has given you a free pass to get out of hell. He has. And what is that pass? Well, he put his son upon the cross. God says, here, this is what's required, son, that you have to go up. If you want to save these people, these humans, you have to take their place. I have to have an innocent, a purely pure innocent sacrifice, and you're the only one that fills the bill, Lord Jesus. That's what the Father had said to the Son. Now, Jesus didn't have to do it, did he, Joe?
No, he didn't.
But he did it. And because of that, he died a substitutionary death. Because of that, then we have a way out. And Jesus, he told us exactly what that way out was. Here's what he said. He said, pray to the Father in my name. Ask him to forgive your sins. Acknowledge the fact that you're a sinner, and a sinner needs a Savior, and that you sinned. And ask the Father to forgive you of your sins. And once you've done that, okay, then call upon the name of the Lord. Call upon my name. The Lord Jesus said, call upon his name. And if you call upon his name and you place him first, okay, you've got to place him first and foremost, above and beyond. You can't have anything that comes before the Lord Jesus. If you do that, then you will become a new creature, a new believer, a born-again, you know, an heir of the kingdom. God has said this. God has said this. And folks, from that point on, you will be indwelt with the Holy Spirit. And you will be on the road to immortality. You say, immortality? And that's what God has said, immortality. You will be on a road to having a glorified body. And you will, as God had originally made Adam and Eve, to live forever. Had not sin entered the world, they'd still be alive here today, right? And so
they would.
Yeah, so you've got God's word on all of this. We're just a messenger. How much time do I have, Kyle?
1:20.
Okay, very quickly, do this if you're listening out there. Repeat after me. Heavenly Father, Lord God. Lord God.
Lord God.
I come to you as a sinner.
I come to you as a sinner.
Forgive me my sins, Father.
Forgive me my sins, Father.
Lord Jesus, be the Lord of my life, all of my life, without any reservations.
Lord Jesus, be the Lord of my life, all of my life, without any reservation.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Come dwell in me with the Holy Spirit. Amen and hallelujah.
Amen and hallelujah.
Yeah, we had to hurry this up because we're just about out of time.
Just short.
Yeah, but I hope you said that. If not, go to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. Read it and do it. Okay, well, as we get to this point every night, this is what we always do. We say good night.
Good night.
We say God bless.
God bless.
And tonight we're going to say Merry Christmas to you all. And always
keep.
Fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Ah, ho, ho, ho.
Hey, what's wrong, Santa?
Well, it's these elves. The new ones all feel entitled. They don't want to work their way up the ladder. In fact, they hardly want to work at all. Then there's those social justice elves. They keep pointing out everyone's differences, dividing the elves and getting them all riled up. And don't get me started about the reindeer rights elves. The shop floor just isn't the happy little place it used to be.
We should have used Red Balloon.
That's right, Santa. RedBalloon.work is America's woke-free job board. Every day, we help good companies find reliable, motivated job seekers without all the woke nonsense. And our new Red Balloon recruiter service is turning traditional corporate recruiting on its head, delivering high-quality employees for a fraction of the price. Give yourself a Christmas gift and post your jobs on RedBalloon.work today. And use promo code SALEM to get 10% off your first month's job posting. Because life's too short for a bad hire.